for kids worship. This is the time for them to go. Thank you, Rex, for putting that in, because I probably would have forgotten. So if you're sitting in the audience and you're having a hard time hearing me, and you actually want to be able to hear me, we have four sets of these headphones, and there's a very small delay on them, so it's almost like listening to me as I talk. So if you need them, there's three sets in the back. If there's more than three people that need them, you'll have to come up and ask me for this pair. So come early, come quickly. I joke about thanking Rex for putting that slide in. I'm not normally up here. I'm normally the one who's putting together the slides. I'm normally the one who's troubleshooting whatever goes wrong on Sunday morning with our live stream, which for some reason, probably because I'm the one running it, seems to be a lot. But it's fun for me to have an opportunity to share and to be in front of you and to see you from this side and not just the backs of your heads. As we're talking today, the title for my lesson is How Will They Know? And some of you who know your Bibles probably saw that and went, oh, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You went straight to Romans 10. Makes sense. I'm a former missionary. Former missionaries kind of stay in that vein. That's not where we're going today. I'm sorry, we're going to be, and I found out I may be stepping on your communion talk too, so we're going to be in John 17. What we're actually going to be talking about today is what has gone through as a theme for pretty much all of the songs that have been sung, all of the songs that ran during the slides before the countdown and during the countdown. We're going to be talking about unity and oneness and love. I think that's something that as a people living in America right now, we need to focus on. I think that's something that as Christians who are called out and set apart from the culture that surrounds us, that we have to be living daily. And I think it is something that, on a whole, can be difficult at times. It's something that we see stretched and strained every day. So we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning, and hopefully, we're going to bring ourselves to a place where we can embrace this oneness. We can embrace this unity. And we can see why these things are things that we should be striving for. Things that we should be reaching out to grab a hold of. Jesus is praying here. And he's praying for himself and he's praying for us. Starting out in John chapter 17, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. my battery dying? I don't know. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture could be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Part of that is about us, but most of that is about Jesus, about him giving thanks to God, about him praising God for all of the things that were done through his ministry here on earth. Now, when we jump to verse 20, we're going to start getting the prayer that's about us. We're going to start getting the prayer that's really about the people that are going to come after. This is the important part for us, because some of the things that we see in the beginning of this prayer are going to be repeated. And that's the meat that we need to look at. So in John 17, verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus is praying for everyone. He is praying for those that he has called that are surrounding him at this very moment. And he is praying for all of us who have put him on in baptism. He is praying for all of us who live today, all of those who have lived between our time and the time of his death, everyone. This prayer is for them. It doesn't matter their station in life. It doesn't matter how much money they have, what color of their skin is, where they live, whether they can see, whether they can hear, whether they can walk. None of that matters. What matters is that they are followers of God. And everyone who is a follower of God is covered by this prayer. All future believers. All of us. Okay, Ben, you're just going to have to advance them. I'm sorry. I'm going to give up on it. You may have been advancing it and I didn't even know. No, I have it here, Judy. I appreciate that, but no, I just can't advance the slides for some reason. I don't know what it is. It's turned on, I promise. John 17, 21 and 22. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. This is powerful, church. This is something that is, it's beautiful. It should be convicting. This is oneness, unity. Jesus asked for us as believers to be one. What does that mean? He tells us. All of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they are the same. They are one. Filling different roles. As the body of Christ, as believers in Jesus, we are one. We are made of the same thing. Our belief in God, our following of Christ. And so just like Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God are one, when we are one in the Spirit, we become one as the body. That's what he's asking for. He's asking us to be indistinguishable. Not in our personalities, but in our mission. The purpose for unity is so that the world will believe that God the Father sent Jesus. That unity, that purpose is important. It's something that we should strive for, and it's something that we should be willing to protect. There's one message. God sent Jesus out of heaven into the world. Our request is that people would believe that God did send Jesus into the world. And our mission as Christians is to be unified in proclaiming this message to the world around us. That's what this unity, this oneness that is talked about in verse 21 is about. We have that glory. We have the ability to have that oneness. Are we using it? I don't know if that was Ben or me. This is weird. 17:23. Perfected in unity. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, this oneness and this unity, you can tell even as I'm talking, I'm slipping back and forth between the two because they seem very similar. The unity itself, Jesus asks for us to be complete, be brought to complete unity. That's a kind of perfection. How necessary is it for us to have unity? How many people have been lost in this world because of division in God's church? How many people have walked away from the message that we care so deeply about because they see a people that are not unified, a people that cannot live and love together? The source of our unity as believers comes from the indwelling of the Spirit. When we come up out of that water after our baptism, that Spirit dwelling within us binds us as one family. It binds us together just like Jesus and God are bound together. We are individuals, yes. I and Otto are not the same person. I don't have this exact same thoughts on Scripture as Rex does. I don't see the world the same way that Tom and Judy do. But we all are connected and unified in our love for God and our desire to see everyone around us know Him and love Him and experience His love the way that we do. That should unify us. That's the only source of unity that matters. The purpose of a perfected unity is so that the world knows that God sent Jesus into the world. If we can't be united in our love for each other, in how we relate to each other, in the front that we provide to the world around us, how can they trust what we are telling them? How can they trust what we are saying about our God? This is something that we see through Scripture. This is something that we have been bombarded with. Division causes us to lose our ability to witness. Christ knew that was going to be an issue. Jesus knew. That's why he prayed this prayer. He was begging for us to have the strength and the courage to live united, even though we have different ideas. Now I know it's been. So that we can be with him in glory. So that they can be with him in glory. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, and the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. If there is one thing that we could give to everyone in this world right now that would change everything that we see around us, it would be God's love. And a knowledge that that love is there for them. No matter where they are, no matter who they are, he loves them. He wants them to be a part of his family. What does it look like when we love? What does it look like when we care about people? Think about the changes that we see in people's lives as we read through the New Testament. We see people who once cared only for themselves, tax collectors, who have gathered immense sums of money for their own benefit, being touched by the love of Christ, by God's love, and giving away more than what they had earned in collecting taxes. Giving away what they have, because what they have means nothing without the love of God. When we actually experience and come in contact with that love, it changes us. And it's hard because the world has a vision of what love is. I was watching a report, and a gentleman was on a college campus. There were protesters there, and he was talking. And he simply said, "I love you." He said, "God loves you, and I love you." As soon as he said, "I love you," the protester who was in front of him started saying, "I'm 16 years old." And people around her started saying, "How old are you? How old are you?" Because as soon as the world hears the word love, they think of sexual attraction. The love that we are talking about is a love between brothers and sisters. It is a love for a father for his children, a mother for her children. That's the closest that we can get to the kind of love that God actually has for us, is those ideas. It's not the worldly idea of love that I take it, I use it, and I throw it away when I'm done with it. It's an enduring love. It's a love that does not end. Even if I turn and walk away from God, he still loves me. He still wants me to be with him. My choice may prevent that, but it doesn't change the fact that he loves me. The worst sinner, the most lost person that you can think of in this world, is loved by God He is grieved that they are lost. And he wants someone, like somebody sitting in this room right now, to reach that person, to show them his love, to bring them into the light through his mercy and grace. That's what Jesus wants. That's what God wants. And that is the love that we have when we are unified. But it's a love that we do not have the ability to talk about when we allow division and double-mindedness to creep into our body as Christians. Filled with God's love. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Be with God in glory. Be with Jesus in glory. That's what he wants. That's what we can offer to the world around us. That's what we can offer to our neighbors. That's what I can offer when I go and help with William's baseball team. That's what we can offer when we volunteer in places in the community. We can offer the ability to be a part of that family, a part of that glory that's there. But being filled with that love gives us the ability to give a testimony. That love is what allows us to share what God is. It allows us to share what he has done in our lives. Our lives are a great testimony. At least they should be. The world doesn't know God. It doesn't understand his love because his love doesn't make sense. Jesus revealed God to the world. Jesus revealed the love that God has to the world. Everybody who saw Jesus saw God. But he was rejected. Jesus gave a testimony. He knew God personally. He was eternal and always existed. Son of God himself. The testimony that we give as believers is that Jesus is God's Son. That he was sent. That he died for the world. That God loves the world. And that there is a way that the world can be changed. We declare and reveal God to others through our actions so that people can know that there is a way to experience God's love and to have that love dwelling in them. And the problem is that when we don't have that unity, when we don't have oneness, that we damage our witness. I said that already. Think about this. I don't think there is anything more beautiful than the prayer that Jesus prays. I don't think there is anything more beautiful than him praying for every single person that's alive right now to be able to witness. So how will they know? How are they going to know that God loves them? How are they going to be convinced? Well, we're going to have to show them, right? There are so many voices that they hear from people claiming to be Christian. There are so many voices that talk about different things. They talk about the works that you have to do, rituals that have to be done, rules that have to be followed, regulations. We talk about morality. We talk about humanism. We focus on all kinds of different things. And we allow that to seep into our relationship with God. This prayer was Jesus' attempt to safeguard against that. He wants us to be unified in one thing, God. He wants us to be focused on one thing, sharing the gospel with the world around us. And he knew that for us to do that, we had to have the ability to show a united body, a body that loves, that breathes, that walks, that works together as one. We aren't all going to have the same ideas. We aren't all going to have the same ambitions. We aren't all going to have the same gifts. But we should all have the same purpose. And if we have the same purpose, then should we not be able to accept others around us who have different gifts, who have different reasons for why they came to faith? If their faith is built on the same profession that we have, we should walk with them. Jesus is calling us, every last one of us, to be that person in Romans, bringing good news. But we can't do it unless we do it together, unless we do it with one mind. It's a challenge in today's world. We are bombarded with how different we are, with everything that sets us apart from the people around us. That's part of the beauty of being one with Christ. We're called out of that. We're called out of that noise, out of that distraction, and we're given a point to focus on. We're giving something to look to, something to follow, a hope and a promise. If you are a part of this body already, and you feel like you are having a hard time finding that focus, and you're having a hard time seeing the right direction, you're not feeling unified, you're not feeling one in Christ with the body here, come and find me. Come and find Rex. Find Troy. Find Ken. Talk with us. Pray with us. We want everyone to be one in this body. We want us to be united in our purpose, which is preaching the gospel, which is sharing the love of God with the world. If you aren't a part of this body and you are searching and you are looking for a way out of the chaos that surrounds us in our daily lives, that comes into our homes, whether we want it to or not, please, please get in touch with us. There's QR codes at the end of the pews that you can leave your information. Talk to me, talk with Rex, talk with someone so that we can have contact information for you, because we want you. Our purpose, our goal, our desire beyond everything else is for everyone to know Christ and to be set free from this chaos, to be given a centering peace of his love. So if you are searching for a church home, if you are searching for answers, reach out to us too. We want to be one. God wants us to be one. Jesus has prayed for us to be one. Are we willing to take action ourselves based on the love that we have for God to become one, to work at being one every day? That's what we're called to. That's what I believe that God is cheering us on toward. And I believe that if we can do that, it will improve our ability to witness, it will improve our ability to share, and it will improve our ability to have words that are believable to the world around us. I pray that you are blessed by God's peace in this coming week. I pray that you will search out his leading in your life. I pray that you will know what it is to be one with him as he and Jesus in the Spirit are one. Have a blessed week. Let's stand together and sing.